Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to share my text with you this morning, and it is found in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 18th, 19th, and 20th verses. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, or with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is a tremendous text, and it's explaining and speaking about two great forces. God's plan for your body, His purpose for your body, and Satan's purpose for your body. Satan has a plan and a purpose for your body, and God has a plan for your body. He planned it. It is so important to God. Know you not that your body, if you're saved, is to be the temple of God? Your body is the temple. Satan wants to destroy your body. He's got a plan for your body. He offers you certain pleasures that are wrong, and ask you to indulge in things that seem to satisfy you for the moment, but they have an eternal consequences. Satan wants to destroy your soul and your body. He plans to destroy you. God has an incredible plan for your soul and for your body, as well as your soul. He created you. No one created themselves. I've had years ago, I used to use this real often in those days, speaking to folks about the Lord, and I would ask a man, "Why are you here? And what are you doing in this world?" And folks really don't know why they're here. I've never found anyone that didn't know the Lord that could answer that. And folks said, "I never thought of that." I thought, well, look, one man I was speaking to right here in the city, I said, "You're halfway gone, and you don't even know why you've come yet. You need to find out why you're here. God created you. We wake up and we're here. No one decides that you'll be a man or a woman, a boy or girl, whatever your sex will be. No one decides that. You're here. And you realize, I'm here. God created you." You know, if you go back to Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, God said, "Let us create man in our own likeness and in our image." And then it says, and God said, "I created man in my likeness and in my image." I created you in the image of God, He says. I created you with an eternal purpose in my image. Do you realize? And then, of course, sin entered the world, and by the third chapter, right away in the second chapter, sin has entered into the world, and Adam has fallen, and sin has entered into the human race and into his body with sin and death. And God has said to Adam, when you sin, you will die. If you partake of this forbidden fruit, when you do, it will bring death to you. Never touch it. And of course they did. Eve did, and Adam did. And the curse came, and sin entered Adam's body. Now, it took sin in his body 930 years to kill Adam. He lived 930 years. Can you imagine what kind of a body, what an incredible body he had that lived even after death came into his body? He was able to survive 930 years. That body went on. What a body Adam had. Could you imagine what it was before he sinned? That after he sinned, he has a body that's lived 930 years. Think of that. That's over 10 times as long as I've lived. And I thought I'd live quite a while. 900 years, that body of his lived. What a tremendous thing the body of man is, created in God's likeness and image. Then God spoke in the 12th chapter to Abraham and said, out of your seed, Abraham, he was a friend of God's, out of your seed will come, a redeemer will come, someone that will bless the whole world. And Jesus Christ was born of the seed of Abraham and of the seed of God. God's own son, Jesus Christ, had not a natural father. So far as sex goes, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, didn't have a natural father, had a mother, his mother, Mary, and Joseph was his father that would raise him, but God was his father. And he was the son of God. God took on a human body. That's how important a body is. God's son took on a human body. And God, in the form of his son, lived in this world 33 years with a human body. That's how important this body is. That God would give his son. His son would have a human body. And this body that Jesus would have would embrace and would be given over to take our place in the sin of the world. Incredible. What his body, that he had no sin and lived without it, and spoke so much about this. And he said to his people, and John the Baptist that introduced him said, and I baptize you in water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. There's the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. The Spirit left Adam, and his Spirit never came in anyone, never was in anybody. Jesus said that in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, and he speaks of the Holy Spirit in the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters. And in the 14th chapter, he said to his disciples, now I'm going to go away and send the Comforter. And he says, he is with you, but will be in you. He is just with you now. But when I leave and I go back to heaven, he is going to come in you. My Spirit, the Spirit of God Almighty, is going to come within you. He has never come into anybody since Adam. Never. Never was in anybody. He came upon them, but he was never in anybody. Wasn't in them. Couldn't be in them because they were not redeemed yet with his precious blood. He met them in the temple. In the temple and in the tabernacle and in the temple. But he never was in them. That wasn't, his plan was to be in them. And to have this body that's so precious and so important, that's made in the image of God, that he wants his Spirit to be within you. And on the cross, Jesus Christ took the sin of the world, all of the sin of the world, took it upon him. Every sin, he took it upon him. All of the sins from Adam's and all that would be ever committed, all of yours. He took the sin of the world, was poured out on Jesus Christ. He took our place. Thank you, Jesus. And God's wrath was poured on his son. God turned his back on his son. On his son, Jesus. And let him take our sin. God couldn't look at sin. Jesus said, God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he bore our sin and took our place and suffered for us to redeem us back to him. And when that was completed, he cried out, "It is finished," on the cross. "It is finished." And listen to me. Listen carefully. When he said it's finished, the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And that magnificent temple that Herod had built, the veil in the holy place and the holy, most holy, split. And God's presence left the earthly temple. And it's never been in the building since then. Because he said he's going to come within the church, in my people. You are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This was not God's original plan. God's plan, it was always to be in us, to be in you, to be filled with his Spirit, to be in you. He was in the tabernacle temporarily and in the temple, but as soon as the price was of redemption was paid and mankind was bought back, the veil of the temple was rent. The presence of God left. And it's never going back in another earthly building. Now, he said to his disciples, he's with you. He will be within you. On the day of Pentecost, he came and they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit. The first time anybody was ever filled with the Spirit. He had been upon them. He came with them. He came over them. But only it says John the Baptist was filled. The exception. But the rule was nobody was. And on the day of Pentecost, he came within the people. He had left the earthly temple. And now his great plan from the original is fulfilled. He is able, because of redemption, to go inside of you. And now you are a holy people. You are the temple of God. God isn't in this building other than the people that are in it. He's not in a building. It doesn't matter how much gold they put in a building. It doesn't matter what you do with it. He's not in buildings, people. He's in people. He's in his church. He comes within his holy people. He washes us with his blood. And he says, you must not give your body over to wrong living. Marriage is honorable. And marriage, sex is for marriage. But he speaks here and he says, Paul says, you must not give your body to wrong relationships. It belongs to God. It's been bought with a price. You cannot live immorally and be a Christian. He died for you on the cross. I say it humbly, and I'm speaking to people in this building today and that's listening to me. God spoke to me so powerfully and told me, bring this message on the importance of your body, that it is a temple. It is the temple. It's more precious than the gold of Solomon's temple. It's more precious than anything. It is a body that's like the image of God. He created you in his image, and he has an eternal plan for your body. He's not finished with it. Satan says, use your body however you like. Live however you like. Live in an immoral relationships and have sex in the wrong way without marriage. But that's wrong. God has cleansed us and he's called us. And he's called us with an eternal purpose. He's called you with an eternal purpose. He's got a plan for your body. He wants it to be the temple of God. He wants his Spirit within you. He wants you to shine with the glory of God. This is where he dwells. He's not in buildings anymore, people. He's in his church. He's in his people. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, my purpose here today is for those that are indecided, that are wondering if I can have this relationship, that I know it's not just what the Bible says. I can have an immoral relationship that's contrary to the scripture, and I can still be all right. It seems right to me. Let me read you what Jesus said. It seems right to me to have this relationship. And though it's biblically wrong, I want to find it. It's in, I've got this scripture, and it's right here in Matthew's gospel is where it is. Matthew's gospel, the 6th chapter, the 5th chapter, and the 25th to the 30th verses. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Jesus Christ is saying what Paul picks up on in Corinthians. Jesus Christ is saying this, that if your eye, and he's saying it in relationship to lust, sexual immorality, or lust, and he's speaking to folks, and he's saying that as painful as it is to pluck your eye out. Now, we know that he's speaking symbolically. How painful that is. But he said it'd be a lot better to have the pain of an eye being plucked out than for your body to be cast into hell, your body destroyed with your soul into hell forever. It would be better to suffer the pain now, the pain, than it would be to suffer eternally in hell. Satan wants your body for eternity to punish you in hell. God wants your body, as we're going to see in a few moments, for an eternal purpose to worship him and to be glorified and to be blessed. He wants to bless you now. It's a pain. Let me say it humbly and kindly and on bended knee, beg of you, don't allow Satan to cause you to commit immoral sin. Lust is lusting after a woman, lusting after a man, lusting homosexually, whatever it may be that's wrong. Sex is for marriage and a proper marriage. And that's a wonderful experience, and God has it. Outside of the context of this Bible, it will damn your soul. It doesn't matter what society says. Folk, it doesn't matter what the school says. It doesn't matter what they say in the colleges and the universities. Outside of the sacredness of marriage, sex will destroy you. And it's powerful. And he says relationships that are wrong, relationships that are outside of this Bible, can be so painful to break. And it can be so powerful that it's like cutting off your hand. Yes, it is going to be painful, but God will give you the courage. There's some people in here this morning that are going to make decisions for God. It's painful you to break off that wrong relationship. It's painful. Yes, it is. But God will give you the strength to endure breaking off a wrong relationship that's outside of this Bible, that's wrong, that Satan is bidding for your soul. Satan is, by means of your body and by means of immoral sex, whatever form it's taken, when it's wrong, you know it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. And do not make excuses for yourself. It will damn your soul in hell. I am here this morning to step between you and hell and to stand between you and losing your soul. I am here to see you saved this morning. I am here to see those relationships broke that are immoral, that are wrong, that you are justifying it. It seems good. Yes, your right hand may seem good. It's your right hand, that he said. But if it's you are, if you are in any way in a wrong relationship, I beg you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I beg you to put that relationship on the altar. I don't care how painful it is. I don't care how difficult it is or what it costs you or how hard it is. God wants you to make that decision for Him. He can give you the strength. He died on the cross for you. He paid an incredible price for you. There's no way to imagine the price He paid. That's how valuable you are. And Satan wants to use your body to destroy your body and your soul. Your body was created by God. He claims your body. He claims your sex life. He wants it to be lived according to this book in a holy relationship with Him and within a marriage context that's biblical. And He will save you and bless you. I don't care what the relationship is. If it's outside of the standards of this Bible, I beg you in the name of Jesus, cut it off this morning. Cut that relationship off this morning. Cut that relationship. End it before you leave this building. I want you to come to this altar and we are going to have an amputation service. Hallelujah. 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 And we are going to see an amputations. Eyes plucked out. Hallelujah. Hands cut off and left at this altar today. It's going to be a bloody altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This has been one of the most difficult sermons preparing it I have had, but God said to me so powerfully, you tell them their body is a temple. Their body is a temple. It's more important than Solomon's temple, more important than Herod's temple. Your body was created in the image of God. He's got a plan. Now, folks, I don't care how tangled it is. There's no eggs ever scrambled that God can't unscramble. It doesn't matter how mixed up your relationship is. I want you to come to this altar today and I want Jesus Christ to straighten out your life and to cut breakthrough and to break through and that you're going to be His. Hallelujah. You're going to belong to Him. I claim you this morning in the name of Jesus. He's got the power. He died for you. He's got the power to break it. Don't say it can't be. And don't say it seems good. Yes, it's pleasurable. Yes, it's incredible pleasure. Yes, you love it. Yes, that is all true. But put it on the altar. It's wrong. Put it on the altar. He can cleanse the homosexual. He can break that power in your life. He can break that chain. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm here to take you out of the hands of Satan this morning and to put you into the camp of God and to see you say an eternal yes. Some of you are on the fence. You can't have God and Satan at the same time. You've got to make a decision. You've got to lay that, put it on the altar. You say, I can't. No, in yourself you can't. You come down here and ask God to give you the strength. He's got the strength. He's got the power. What you've got to be is willing. What you've got to be is willing for Him to do it. He is an amputator. Hallelujah. He's an eye plucker. He knows how. And He can heal your eye. And He can heal your heart. And He can heal your broken heart. And He can put you back together. And He can give you peace. Hallelujah. Because He's got a plan for you. He wants you. He loves you. He died for you. Don't listen to the devil. Don't let Satan give you a moment's pleasure. Jesus said it's better to lose something now and gain eternity. Oh, I don't want to see you lost. God doesn't want to see you lost. Make your mind up today. Don't be wishy-washy. Well, I'll just stay here a little longer. Some folks say, maybe someday I'll... No, no, no. Someday I'll change. No, this morning you changed. This morning you changed. Today you changed. Come down here today and leave and let God take care of this situation. He's powerful. He's powerful. I don't care how strong it is. I don't care how powerful it is. I don't care how strong Satan has got a hold of you. His power was broken on the cross. The power of wrong sex was broken on the cross. Jesus Christ died to break that chain. He broke it. And He can set you free this morning. He can set you free today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 Satan, you're a liar. You're lying to people. You're telling them it's all right. And it's not all right. It's not all right. Wrong living is not all right. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what somebody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It's what this book says. It's what Jesus said. It's what He said. And He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you peace and give you such joy and such peace and such victorious living. He wants you to be an example. He wants the light to shine out of you. And He wants those folks to just see the light of the gospel and to see the power of God in you. He wants folks to see that God has the power to change you. He has the power to set you free. I don't care what drugs you're on this morning. It doesn't matter. Drugs can take you down. I don't care what habits you've got that are bounding you. Well, I can go to heaven with this habit. No, you're not going to heaven with that habit. You're going to get rid of that habit. Hallelujah. You don't need to try that. Don't try that. Don't take a chance on that. If you have wrong habits this morning, immoral habits or wrong habits, there's no such thing as the power having control over this temple. Know you not. Your body is the temple of God, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Know you not that a price was paid for you? An incredible price was paid, and the power of darkness was broken. There is liberty, and there is freedom, and there is victory, and there is hallelujah. There is an overcoming power to be handed to you today. Today, we want you to make that change. God wants you to, not tomorrow. Now, that's what Satan is saying to some of you right now. Well, you can do this later. No, no, no. Can't do it later. Now is the time. This is the moment. That's a lie. Satan says you can come anytime. No, you can't. You come when the Holy Spirit knocks at your heart's door, when Jesus Christ stands with blood dripping from His hands, saying to you, come, I loved you with an everlasting love. I died for you, and I don't want you bound by Satan. You don't have to be. You are not going to go to hell in the name of Jesus. You're going to make the decision to go to heaven and to serve God and to be His child and to be victorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Satan was defeated, totally defeated. And He's offering you life this morning, power, deliverance from your drugs, deliverance from any habits that's bounding you, from immoral habits, watching the wrong things, for allowing lust to get into your eye. God is going to clean eyes here this morning. Hallelujah. Cleanse hearts and cleanse eyes, and let the glory of God know you not. Your body is the temple of God. This is the church. This is the temple. More important than Herod's temple. Put your hands on your body. Put your hand on your body. Put your hand on your body. This body, say, my body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. My body is a temple of God. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit. He is going to dwell within me. The light is going to shine out from me. Hallelujah. We are a walking, a living temple, a living church. You are the church. You are the temple. You are God's light. That's where He dwells now. He's not in the building. The temple was destroyed and it never came back. Hallelujah. After 70 AD, it was gone, never to be built, because He was in this church. He's in you this morning. He's walking with you. He wants to guide you. He's got an eternal plan for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Revelations, I want you to read about His final plan, the 19th chapter of Revelation. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Then He said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God is calling you. He created your body not only for to be blessed on this earth, that every true marriage is a picture of this marriage. Every marriage. He made man in His own image. Male and female created He them. And he says, I saw this tremendous host in heaven. And He says, rejoice, for the bride has made herself ready. The Lamb's wife, John the Baptist, said, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. And we are all marriages, true, real marriages on this earth. Biblical, normal marriages are a picture of the real marriage, of the great marriage at the end. Your body is going to be a part of God. Hallelujah. And you are going to be married to Him for eternity. He has an eternal purpose for this body. It was created in His image. And I'm planning to be in that crowd. And God is planning and wanting you to be in that number. I am planning to be in that wedding. 65 years ago, I got married as a young man in a little country church, a small little church. I was so nervous, I can't even remember what went on. And I was so nervous, they had to tell me twice to kiss the bride. I was so nervous. But it was a great experience, the great experience of my life. It was been a great, and we are more in love today than we were when we got married. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. After 65 years. And there's great weddings, and I remember coming to a great wedding here when Kate was married. What a beautiful wedding it was when the pastor's daughter was married. It was beautiful, beautiful. What a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And the most beautiful wedding I ever saw was in St. Patrick's Cathedral, though. That was the most beautiful. I was there praying. I was preaching here, and I was praying over at St. Patrick's Cathedral, where it's quiet, and it was on a Saturday, and there was a wedding, and they let us stay. And what gowns, what beauty, what a ceremony, what a beautiful ceremony. But that was a picture of the real thing. Every wedding that's been proper on this earth is a picture of the eternal wedding. There is a wedding coming, and I want you to be there. God wants you to be there. I don't want you to miss it. You might have missed it here. I've got news for you. You may have never been married here, and it may never be right, and it may be wrong, but you are invited to the one that matters. These are all going to pass away. All the relationships on this earth end at the grave, but I want you to know there's coming a day when the heavens band is going to strike up, and there's going to be a march, and I want to be in that march, and I want you in that march, and God wants you in that march, and we are going to be married, hallelujah, to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody in here, get excited this morning. Get excited this morning. And I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what your body looks like, and Satan has brought it down, and some of us get old and decrepit, but it's going to rise at the resurrection. We're going to resurrect. These bodies are coming out of the grave, and we're going to be presented to God in heaven, and it's going to be the angels there. And John said he's going to be a friend of the bride, a friend of the bridegroom, but I'm not going to be a friend of the bridegroom. I'm going to be in the bride. Come on, let's get excited. We are the church this morning, and I want you to come be a part of the greatest experience. God has an eternal, eternal purpose for this body. It's eternal. Satan wants to destroy it with habits and with drugs, and he wants to destroy it with the wrong sex. And he wants to control you and put chains on you. But in the name of Jesus, I break those chains this morning. And I set you free. And I call you to this altar today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that died for you. And I want to tell you that God's power is equal to every situation here. And he's inviting you to that wedding. He's inviting you to come here and to get rid of the wrong relationship, and get rid of the wrong habits, and become a part of the bride of Christ in the name of Jesus. And let's stand together as the pastor comes.
Folks, I can just, in the spirit, just hear the Holy Ghost pleading with us this morning to lay things down. And the message has been clear. I don't have anything to add to that. Today it's time. It's time. Get out of your seat, come to the front of this church, what we call an altar. We're going to worship, and then we're going to pray together. But God is going to set folks free today. He's going to transform lives. Prison doors are coming off their hinges this morning in the name of Jesus. There's going to be freedom, liberty. There's going to be a shout in this place like never before. Folks are going on with God. Folks, I hear the call to go out and meet the bridegroom. I hear the call to go out and meet the bridegroom. It's time to trim our lamps. Hallelujah. Men, women, young people, folks flirting with things, toying with things. Folks, just be begin to talk to Jesus. You know why he's brought you here. You know what he's dealing with, what he's putting a finger on. Today, in the name of Jesus, every tie is being broken. Soul ties today being broken in the name of Jesus. Freedom from pornography, freedom from all forms of perversion, freedoms from flirting with the devil. God, in Jesus' name, today we're believing you. We're thanking you for your word. God, we make a choice today to turn, God, from everything. Lord, turning from everything. God, if we've got to throw out magazines, if we've got to throw out CDs, if we've got to throw out DVDs, if we have to delete links, God, on our websites, in our favorites, God, today, in Jesus' name, we're believing you for the freedom, Lord, for the grace. Lord, to turn away from everything. Lord, no part dark. We want no part dark. Nothing with darkness. We shut the door on the devil today. You are working in us both to will and to do your good pleasure this morning. God, we believe you for the freedom. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the anointing that still breaks every yoke. Lord, the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. In the name of Jesus, freedom today, freedom. Freedom, oh God, freedom today. God, we thank you for it. We believe you for it. God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, folks, you talk to him. You talk to him. He wants to hear your cry this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to read a verse of scripture to you. It's found in Romans. It says here, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. No obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, if you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Hallelujah. 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 Freedom in the name of Jesus. You are free. You are free today. You are free. You're free. No obligation to obey the flesh. So every magazine, every DVD, every relationship, every phone number, you delete it from your phone, every link, you delete it on your computer. You delete it today. You're no under no obligation anymore to obey this flesh. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. And he gives you authority over the works of the flesh. Daily, as you walk with him, as you commune with him, as you entrust yourself to him every single day, you acknowledge him, you entrust yourself to him, you're going to find a supernatural power working within you. And it's the life of the Spirit of God working within you and enabling you to do the right thing. God's going to give you better relationships. Hallelujah. Healthy relationships. Victory. Folks, we're going all the way. We're going all the way. When that trumpet sounds, we're out of here. We're out of here. And we're all going. We're all going in Jesus' name. Pastor Crandall, thank you for that powerful message this morning. We love you. Life. 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 No more death. Life. Life. Father, thank you for speaking to us so clearly. Thank you for dealing such a decisive death blow to the devil and to every area in our life, Lord, that would pull us down. Today, we go from this house rejoicing in our God who has given us the victory. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give him a glorious shout of praise this morning for his love for us, his love for us, his love for us.